Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been just the most beautiful fall that we can remember. Thank goodness for memory loss. It's just been absolutely gorgeous. Just sunny skies and warm days for people whose tastes run in that direction. And then cool nights to remind us that it is fall after all. The sumac turning red and the birches and the poplar and the red oak, the leaves are starting to turn now, and it's getting chilly, which means that the fish are biting, so there's a big flurry of activity out on the lake, and the cows lie in the afternoon sun out in the fields, thinking thoughts about mortality so that you and I do not need to think about any of these things whatsoever. There was a report of an abandoned boat out in the middle of the lake. Gary and Leroy, the town constables, had to go borrow Wally's pontoon boat from the sidetrack tap and go out and chase it down. It was out there in the middle of the lake. It was drifting slowly across. It was John Soberg's boat. He had caught a walleye and taken the boat to shore and was so excited about the fish that he didn't tie it up. And so it drifted away, and a line was dragging in the water, and it was caught by a fish. An enormous carp was pulling this boat across the lake. He had made it almost all the way across. Evidently, he thought it was his job and his destiny, his fate or something. And the constables got the fish, and they got the hook out of his lip. He was just exhausted. He lay there in the water, panting, his gills flapping all bright and pink. And then he finally swam slowly away and then in a circle around the boat. They told this story back in town, and people just thought this was so evocative and meaningful. It reminded them of their own careers. When they were young, you know, and you're hungry and you need something and you go out looking for a job and you clamp down and you feel this pain in the roof of your mouth, but you do your job and you keep paddling and you keep swimming and you tow that boat across the lake, and then somebody comes and they take the hook out of your upper lip, and that's retirement. And and they set you loose. And some fish know how to resume the fish life and be free again, but this particular fish was coming back to find another boat to tow it, you see. And it's just, he'd gotten used to the pain somehow. He just was unable to get himself loose of it. They were talking about that down at the Chatterbox Cafe and about all sorts of other things. It's the dark time of year. I come from dark people. And so the coffee drinkers, the ones who don't have a job to go to at 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, were having their debate, as they sometimes do. Which would you prefer, blindness or deafness, if you had to have one? That debate went on for a while, and blindness seemed to be the preference, but there was a pretty good argument about that, and then people were arguing about whether you would rather be incontinent or suffer memory loss. Pros and cons of each. Myrtle Krebsbach said she'd like to have both so she could pee in her pants and then forget about it, but this went on for a while. I come from dark people, you see. It's not really comfortable on a brilliant, beautiful fall afternoon such as we've had this last week. I remember when we were kids, we had similar arguments. What would you do if communists came to Lake Wobegon and they lined us up and they made us either renounce the Lord or else you would die? Which would you choose? Well, that was easy. We chose to die, you know, rather than say we didn't believe in the Lord. But then somebody said, well, what would you do if you had a choice between renouncing the Lord or drinking a pitcher of warm spit? It wasn't spit. It was something else, but never mind that. Well, that was more difficult for people to figure out. What would you rather do? Somehow this was a real thing to children in Lake Wobegon. The idea of Chinese communists all coming in the sort of dark green uniforms with the red star and the flag with the hammer and the sickle, and they would line up all the kids in a long table with pitchers of warm spit or whatever, right on Main Street there, and you would have your choice between renouncing the Lord or drinking this. What would you do? I said I would renounce the Lord, but I'd have my fingers crossed. They said, okay, what if the Chinese communists had you put your hands down on the table so you couldn't cross your fingers, and they wouldn't let you cross your legs, and they wouldn't let you cross your eyes. You couldn't cross anything. I said, I could still cross my fingers in my heart. This is the point at which some people go into accounting and other people go into fiction, you see? The belief that you can tell a story to save your own skin and it won't count against you. I believed that from the time I was a small child. It was an odd question, but we took it so seriously when we were kids. It never happened. The Chinese communists did not come and make us drink pitchers of warm spit. The most they did was send over toys with lead-based paint. I mean, that's all. And we sent them back. And yet, politics today seems to me dominated by people who are interested in those renounce the Lord or drink warm spit sorts of questions. It's a strange world that we live in. But those are the kids I grew up among. Those were the kids. They were dark. They were dark, dark people. There was a little controversy this last week. We have big controversies in Lake Wobegon. Politics is ferocious there. The county road crews now, with the frost coming, have been working harder and harder, paving that section of county road, the gravel just north and west of town. Bitter fights in the township over that. Over 20 years they fought over that. Elections were won and lost on that question, whether to pave 1.8 miles of gravel road. Fights that were more vicious and hard fought than anything that's ever gone on in Washington. And then, you know, just certain people had to die, that's all. And then it was done. And then it was done. Death resolves all arguments. Except the one this last week was more interesting. The Magan dances went off to St. Cloud, and they saw this sail on concrete garden art. And they brought back a truckload of it, and they already have a lot of statuary in the yard, gnomes and squirrels and deer, of course. And they brought back these enormous concrete walleyes who are kind of in action poses, curved, leaping out of the water or out of the ground with their mouths wide open after some imaginary fly, this enormous, ugly thing. And people were bringing this up in the town council in sort of the abstract, you know, no names mentioned, but are there laws on the books, you know, that we can call on in the case of, you know, enormous, ugly objects in our neighbor's yard. Well, there is sort of an all-purpose law about a public nuisance, you know, meaning that anything that most people dislike strongly enough, we can get rid of. But nuisance seemed like a strong word to use with the Magan dances until the storm this last week blew over one of the walleyes. And then Mayor Eloise Krebsbach moved in a public safety issue. What if a small child had been running along and an enormous 6-foot-high concrete walleye had fallen down on it, and so the walleyes were laid prostrate on the ground? But the Magan dances would not give up. Gladys Magan Dance was ferocious. She said that She was going to dig holes, and she would lay concrete footings and get iron beams, and next spring, these walleyes will become permanent as a memorial garden for her father, who is a fisherman and who loved to fish. Not much you can do about a memorial garden, is there? People can do anything they want to in the name of a memorial. Well, people were just horrified. And then Mayor Eloise Krebsbach moved in, and she solved this the way they say you should in Scripture. She asked Gladys if she would accept a seat on the Village Beautification Committee. And Gladys said yes. How could she say no? This is the scriptural principle that we have. Love your enemies, invite them in, flatter them, and get them to serve on committees and bore them to death. Everybody would like to be a dissenter, a noble dissenter, a voice in the wilderness out there crying against the majority. You want to bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them into the council. Sit them down and have them listen to a debate on all 45 resolutions for 4.5 hours. That'll show them. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.